Welcome to Mind Matters with Eldon Taylor, where conversations explore the inner frontier. What is it I can say I know and why? Who am I really? Is there such a thing as free will? How does the human mind differ from the programmed artificial intelligence being built today? How are thinking and destiny connected? Is mind really capable of being our best healer or our worst slayer? Where does the world of shoes and ships and sealing wax leave off and the mind begin? These are just some of the questions Eldon and his guests take on in this next fascinating hour. You won't want to miss any of it.
Welcome to another hour of Mind Matters, an hour devoted to questions of consciousness, mind, and all that might arise out of this inquiry and somehow, in some way, really matter. What do angels and consciousness have in common? Is the mind manufacturing these beings out of some psychological need, or do they really have an independent existence? Well, that's the subject of today's show, so don't go away because we have a special guest that has been seeing and conversing with angels all of her life. Indeed, she was labeled retarded as a child, due in part to her conversations with angels. From my studio now in Spokane, Washington, through the marvel of modern technology, we are coming to you wherever you might be in the world, live across the internet, and in the Seattle area on your radio's FM high-definition dial. We have a really interesting show today, and I know you will want to stay tuned. But first, I want to remind you that beginning September 9th, our show will air on Wednesday at 1 p.m. live, and then replay on Sundays at 7 p.m. Pacific time. Indeed, we are replaying now at that 7 p.m. time slot on Sunday evening, so if you miss us during the week, go ahead and catch us on Sunday evening. Our listening audience continues to grow, and we thank you very much for spreading the word and helping us build this audience. Okay, today's subject. There's a great deal of popularity behind the idea of guides and angels. Have you ever asked yourself whether or not you truly believe in them? Are guides and angels the same? What does the Bible, the Quran, or the Upanishads, or any of the other sacred documents teach us about angels? Or do they? Have angels been human beings in the past? How many angels are there? Do we all have a guardian angel? Does our guardian angel take care of others at the same time? Are there bad angels? I mean, do angels stray? What exactly is the job description for angels? The word angel comes from the Greek word angelos, which means messenger. Are they messengers? How do they originate? What do angels look like? I don't know about you, but I'm struck by the pure volume of questions that come to my mind when I think about angels. And yet, according to Gallup, over 75% of Americans believe in angels. And according to Harris, that number goes up to 82%. When you look at polls in America, I find it very interesting that among the 82% of adults who believe in God, that number includes 86% of women and 93% of Republicans, but only 78% of men, 69% of those with postgraduate degrees, and 75% of political independents. Okay, what does all that shake down to? Well, if you take the lowest number, it's still a significant majority of our nation. So what is an angel and what do they do? I know what I think. What do you think? We want your ideas, thoughts, and questions, so join us. You can do that by phoning toll-free 877-230-3062 or by entering our chat room. Just go to www.ctrchat.com from anywhere in the world and enter your comments and questions. My partner Ravinder is here in the studio with me. She is a real lover of angels. Say hello to everyone out there, Ravinder.
Hi, everyone, and I am a real fan of angels. I'm very much looking forward to today's interview.
Well, that's good. She monitors the chat room while watching it live during the broadcast. She will greet you and see that I don't get so involved that I forget about your questions and comments. So you be sure and get them on the air, either through the chat room or across the telephone line. Now, each week we try to bring you interesting subjects that ask big questions. And as you know, by now at least, I believe that the questions themselves are often as important, if not more important, than our so-called answers. And each week we work to bring you leading authors, researchers, visionaries, and the like to discuss their take on these matters. My guest today is a remarkable woman with a truly genuine sincerity that comes across in every word of her book. She has a message to share that I can only say gives me goosebumps when I think about her story and what she has to tell us. In 2008, out of complete obscurity, a dyslexic Irish widow became a publishing phenomena, and her memoir, the subject of our conversation today, Angels in My Hair, became the third best-selling book in Ireland. 1 year later, the book has become an international sensation. Rights have been sold in over 45 languages, and Doubleday just released the American version this April. The author is our special guest today, Lorna Byrne, who since childhood has seen and communicated with angels. According to a 2008 poll by the Baylor University Institute for Studies of Religion, despite the majority of Americans that believe in angels, few people claim that they have actually ever seen them. From guardian angels and spirits of the deceased to the prophet Elijah and Satan himself, Lorna has been causing a sensation across Europe and the United States. Well, it's midnight, her hour, if I've got the time difference correct, and we dialed her up to welcome her to Mind Matters. Welcome, Lorna.
I'm delighted to talk with you, Eldon. And it is 12 o'clock here in Ireland. Well, it's after 12.
It's 5 o'clock?
It's 12 o'clock.
12 o'clock. Well, isn't that midnight?
Yeah.
Okay, so at midnight, and you're game, and you're up, and you're joining us, and that speaks very highly of you, and we very much appreciate that.
You're welcome.
I've already told you off the air, I love your book, and I'm going to tell everybody out there right now, this is a book you'll want to read. It is a very compelling, easy read, and it tells a beautiful story, but you must have been frightened to death to tell this story of the criticism, ridicule that you'd come under in publishing it. So, Lorna, why don't we begin by, you know, kind of introducing to our audience what your story is. And, you know, I began, I introduced you in part by referring to the fact that at a young age you were labeled as retarded. And, you know, tell us what that was about. Please begin by sharing your early experiences.
Okay. I suppose the first thing I better say to you, I can never remember a moment in my life not seeing angels. So I would always say to people, from the moment I opened my eyes, even though I was only a baby, and I didn't know they were angels. And as I grew, I even remember lying in the cot, you know, and reaching up to try and catch them, you know, to touch them. And I always thought my mom and dad and my sister, you know, knew they were there as well. It's actually very natural for me. I know nothing else. You know, that would be another thing I would say. They have always been there in my life, and they're my best friends and companions, and they have taught me everything I know. And again, because as a child I was a slow talker, and my parents, you know, brought me to the doctor and all of that, and were told that I was retarded. But I was dyslexic, and you have to remember, back at that time in Ireland, being dyslexic was never heard of, and I don't even think I'm pronouncing the word properly either. So I guess I was very nervous, you know, of writing the book as well. But even as a child, the angels told me that I would do this for them, you know, because that it was something God wanted me to do. And when I was older and married, and wheeling my own daughter in her pram, and going home one day from shopping, and a particular angel that I call Michael came up behind me and teased me a little, but he said to me, you know, the time is getting close to Lorna for you to start to write, you know, your first book. And I just laughed at him. I always remember that day, because I even have to smile now telling you. You know, and I said to him, but I can't even read or write properly, never mind, you know, write a book. And he just said, you know, there would be help sent. And over the years, as the years passed, you know, lots of help was sent. You know, someone gave me a little tape, you know, that to speak into. And then when a friend came to the house and she brought some other friends with her, the angel had said to me, there's a lady in among those friends of you know, that have come to visit, and that she will be of great help to you. And I remember before she left, I said to her, you know, maybe you will help me in the future to write a book. And I was even scared saying that to her, you know. And she actually just gave me her card, and she left it, and she had said, well, maybe I can help one of your children, you know what I mean, in that way. But then one day I rang her and just said, I have a whole load of stuff on a tape about the angels, and could you type it out for me? And that's really where it started.
Mm. Now, all your life, you're seeing angels. And the angels are teaching you, you say. They're teaching you everything that you know. So when you say that, Are they teaching you about spirituality? Are they teaching you about life? What is it that they're teaching you?
They have actually, when I say everything that I know, I mean literally everything. They taught me about nature, and they even taught me, you know, how to, what would you say, even communicate with them. You know, they taught me how to see energy around everything as well. You know, they have taught me so much. And how else could I say this? They even taught me, in a sense, how to understand people when they would speak to me that would be highly educated, even about subjects that I really didn't know anything about. They have just taught me so much. And you have to remember, I see angels with everybody, you know, and especially the guardian angel, because everyone has a guardian angel. And I always say to people, I see the light of the guardian angel right behind them. And I always say about three steps behind you. You know, and when the light of someone's guardian angel opens up, it is just fantastic to see. They are beautiful beings. And one of the messages in the book is to let people know that everyone has a guardian angel. And your guardian angel is the gatekeeper of your soul. And I have never seen any human being at the moment so far in my life without that beam of light behind them. And that would be regardless of their religion or their belief, or even if they have no belief at all. And to me, that is wonderful.
So now, just since we're there, what is your religious affiliation or belief, or is that even an appropriate question?
I've been brought up a Catholic, you know, like almost everybody in Ireland are Catholics, well, were, but maybe not so much nowadays. But I'm a Catholic, so I go to Mass, not every Sunday, because I don't always get Mass on a Sunday, but I go as often as I can. So I'd have to say I'm a Catholic. You know, I don't think it would make any difference. If I was a Protestant or a Jew or a Muslim, I think God would still have me doing what I'm doing. At times I often say to the angels and to God, why did you know, why did you choose me? You know, and at times I would get no answer. And other times I would just say to people when they would ask me that question, I don't know why God chose me, but I do feel very privileged that he did. But I do at times wish that he chose someone else, because at times I suppose I may think that the human side of me, that maybe I'm not good enough because I have learning difficulties. You know, with reading and writing, that was very difficult.
How does the Catholic community receive your message?
Well, so far, they seem to be receiving it welcoming. You know, I have no problems. I haven't still. When I do a book signing in Ireland or up in Belfast, in Northern Ireland, I'd have loads of priests and nuns, you know, coming and giving me great support. But I'd have people from different religions, Catholics, Protestants. I've even had a few Muslims, you know, and everyone is giving great support. I know I get some people that would say, oh, they don't believe in God, or don't believe in angels. And I always say, usually when someone is, you know, critical in that way, they're just as hungry and thirsty to know more, because everybody out there in the world wants to know that there's more to life. And I would say to them, yes, there is, because each and every one of us has a soul and a guardian angel. And I suppose that's the part that we're afraid of, and the supernatural, because that's what God is, that is what the angels are, and that is what our souls are. But isn't it wonderful that we're not going to just, you know, that only our bodies die, not away in the ground that we live. And I suppose it all depends on faith as well. I say to people, I can't prove it, but I see angels every day as if, you know, if my daughter was up now and sitting at the table with me, you know, I see angels as clearly as I would see herself. You know, she was sitting across from the table with me at the moment.
So is her father now an angel?
No, because her father is so. Angels and people would ask me that question now as well. They say, are angels people, or, you know, are souls? And they're not, because angels are creatures. God created them. And the most important thing for the angel is to look after us the best they can. You know, but it's up to us as well to try and listen. And I would say to people that your guardian angel, or any other angels that your guardian angel allows in, or even a soul of a loved one that may have died, they'll never ask you to do anything wrong. If you're doing something wrong or spiteful or mean or anything like that, I don't like talking about Satan, but it is his helpers that are asking you to do wrong. And it is, in a sense, your angel giving you the feeling of, you know, that you're doing something wrong and you shouldn't be doing it. Your guardian angel never gives up on you, not for one moment. So you are never alone, not for a second, no matter what is happening around you in your life, or whether you're feeling sad or happy.
So for myself, as well as our listening audience, Lorna, I know the story of your husband, and we'll come back to that in a minute. But when you walk into a room, do you see the angels that are guardian angels for other people that are in that room, or do you only see your own?
The way I can explain it is, right, if I walked into a hotel or into a restaurant or anything like that, I would see that light behind each and every person. The light of the guardian angel is what I call it. And I would see other angels, but they're not guardian angels. Sometimes I call them the white angels, or it might be a teacher angel, where somebody had asked for help with something that they were doing. Like the last time I was over in New York, I was watching an elderly lady, and I think it was her son. I was actually waiting on a taxi, and they were walking down the road, and the son was supporting the elderly lady, and I was watching. Not the guardian, I could see the light of the guardian angel behind both of them, but I was watching what I would call the white angel that mm-hmm. were helping the elderly lady to walk, were actually helping to lift her legs. And it was done with such love and care that all that you can do is smile. You know, I do a lot of smiling, and at times I do, when I'm somewhere or even talking to someone, I get distracted, and I would be looking somewhere else. But I can't help it, because when an angel attracts your attention for a reason, I have to look.
We have to take a break, but when we come back,
okay.
Let's pick this up. This is a remarkable story. You're listening to Mind Matters on Contact Talk Radio in the Seattle area. You can tune in live over KRWM 106.9 on your FM high definition channel 3 dial. Or for anywhere in the world, tune in by going to contacttalkradio.com. My guest is Lorna Byrne, and we're discussing a...
Choices and illusions. How did I get where I am, and how do I get where I want to be? Is the book to read when you feel stuck? Same old, same old. Try and try again, and yet nothing seems to work. Choices and Illusions provides a clear path to self-liberation and personal empowerment that has caused leading visionaries to extol this book as the one everyone should read in our time. John Edward puts it this way: read this book. We are living at a time when people are searching for answers to fundamental questions in their lives. This book can be, if applied, the roadmap to personal enlightenment. Get your copy today, wherever books are sold.
Plan to attend the Hay House ICANN Conference in Tampa, Florida? Join your favorite authors in beautiful Tampa for a life-changing retreat. The I Can Do It Tampa 2009 Conference from November 19th to the 22nd, 2009 can be booked now at a reduced price. Everyone is talking about Hay House's I Can events. Don't be left out. Get your tickets early. This event features leading visionaries from around the world. A short list includes your Contact Talk Radio Mind Matters host, Eldon Taylor, plus Wayne Dyer, Louise Hay, Christine Northrup, Sonia Choquette, Greg Braden, Joan Borisenko, Bruce Lipton, Bernie Siegel, James Twyman, and Brian Weiss, to name but a few. In all, you will have the opportunity to meet and hear 30 of today's best-selling authors. For more information and or to get your tickets now, visit hayhouse.com. Enjoy spiritual nourishment for your soul. And again, go to hayhouse.com.
Now back in stock, Mind Programming by Eldon Taylor. Published in late April and already in its fourth printing, everyone is saying, read this book if you want the real insight into the secret battles that are being waged for your mind and want tangible solutions to help you protect it. One reader had this to say: you know you're in the presence of truth when you get goosebumps on nearly every page. By the time you have completed the book, you'll look like a goose, but feel as if you own the golden egg. Get your copy, Mind Programming by Eldon Taylor, wherever books are sold or online from Amazon.com and others today.
Welcome back. If you just joined us, I'm Eldon Taylor, and my guest today is Lorna Byrne, and we've been discussing her book, Angels in My Hair. Before we went to break, Lorna had told us that she does see the guardian angels, the angels that surround other people, and she's actually seen these angels help each other. Well, I've got to ask this question because, you know, I'm a lover of animals. Have you, I mean, when you see angels, do you ever see angels with pets, Lorna?
The only way I can explain that is I don't see like a guardian angel with them in that way, but I have seen if an animal is sick, that angel would be around, yes. You know,
so,
but not in the
So
same
you see
way
angels attend to animals.
Yeah.
Well, I know the story about your husband, and before we went to break, you mentioned that you saw him. And for our audience's sake, let's clarify that. You met the perfect guy, you got married, everything was wonderful, but it didn't remain that way forever. In fact, you come from a very humble upbringing, very modest income. Share a little of that with our audience so they get a picture of who you are.
Well, I suppose maybe I will tell you about Angel Elijah first. When I was only about 10 and I was out fishing with my dad, the angel told me to walk up further, that I had a special angel that I needed to meet. And I saw this beautiful angel walk across the water. And I was only about 10, so I just had to smile and, you know...
Excuse me, Lorna. Excuse me, Lorna. Have you got your radio on in the background?
No. No radio at all.
Well, we're picking up something coming from you. Go ahead. We'll figure it out on our end. I didn't mean to cut you off, but if you had your radio on, that would explain the background noise we're getting.
No. Well, as I said, the angel Elijah walked across the water, and he told me he had something to show me. And he was a beautiful angel, kind of amber clothes he wore with a tint of red, and he was just magnificent. And I sat with him on the grass near the river, and he told me to just look over by the river, and it was like a curtain, a big screen appeared, and he showed me a young man, and he told me all about this young man, that I would marry him. And I laughed at him and said, why do I need to know this now? But he told me we wouldn't grow old together, and I gave out to him and said, you know, was very sad to hear that, and asked him why did he need to tell me that as well. The angel just said it was something I needed to know of my future. When I was working for my dad in the garage as a young girl, the vision actually came true. I saw my husband, but not knowing his name, walking up the road, and I saw the trees and all of that. The secretary was sitting at the desk, and I was saying to her, I hope this young man doesn't get this job. But of course I knew he was going to, because the angel Elijah had told me so, and so I knew it would happen. And of course we fell in love and we got married, and of course he started to get sick, you know, a couple of years after we had got married. You have to remember, in Ireland in that time there wasn't much employment, and we did struggle an awful lot, and only for the angels giving me courage and strength, I would say I wouldn't have made it through life. But it was hard, very hard, knowing that how can I say it? I even find it hard to say. But even to watch my husband Joe and know that his health was going to continually get worse, and that he would die one day on us. That was hard to live with, even as a child and as I grew up and everything like that. Sometimes I find it very emotional to talk about it.
I can only imagine how difficult that must have been. But it speaks to your sincerity and addresses the very real nature of how you have authenticated for yourself the goodness of the angels. I remember reading in your book that you observed, and by observing you saw that whatever and everything that the angels did or asked to do was always good, and that's why I say that. So that kind of brings me to the notion or the story that you tell about Satan. You have Well, you should tell this story. I don't want to set it up any more than this. You have an angel come to you and tell you that you are going to meet Satan. Can you pick it up from there?
Yes. Again, I was out with Joe and my children, and we had gone to, you know, to Dunedee Park. I know you wouldn't know where that is, but it's here in Ireland. And we were out for a picnic, and it was in the evening time. And the angels again had told me to take a little time to myself. So I had asked Joe, could I go for a little walk just across, and would he mind the children? And I did that. And again, it was the angel Elijah that had come, and he had told me, you know, that Satan was near. And I had said to him that I had already felt him, even though I didn't know who it was until he had said it. I'd felt him in the darkness, you know, like miles away or millions of miles away, but all the time getting closer. And again, I wish God didn't have to test me in that way, but he did. And the time that Satan actually reached my home, sometimes it's very hard to describe. I'm skipping now loads of it, because I actually don't like talking about Satan or giving him any credit. But he does exist, and to me that is the most horrible thing in the world, is that he does exist. And when he came into my home, you know, everything just disappeared. But God was on my right and Satan was on the left. And it's very hard to describe them, just the fear and the anxiety and the horror of him being there. And yes, when God was on my right and he reached out to touch my fingertip, it gave me the courage I needed. And I had to, in a sense, deny Satan three times, you know, say that I chose God over Satan. And each time I had said that, you know, he was pushed further away. I know that's why people do things that aren't good in the world. I would say to people, you know, when someone hurts you, you know, try your best not to look for revenge back or to hurt back. You know, we can't have peace in the world unless we have peace among ourselves and within our families. And good always wins in the end, even if it takes hundreds of years. And God and the angels never give up on us. And they only expect us to do our best. And that is good. And I always remind God that we're only human. But it is wonderful to know you know, that everyone has a soul. You know, since I've written the book and it's been out there, a lot of people would say, you know, it gave them an uplift. It filled them with hope, you know. And even parents who may have lost a child or a husband who has now become unemployed and things like that, it has given them back faith and it's helping people to believe that, you know, they'll get through all the things that are happening in life. And that alone is good. We should never give up because life is precious.
So if I understand you correctly, and please correct me if I'm wrong, when we show animus towards another human being in our anger or our attempts to get even, and those what we call negative emotions, this is an emotion set that attracts or is given from Satan?
I would say it is given from Satan.
I'm sorry, say that again?
It is given from Satan. We allow it in. When someone hurts us, it's like Satan's helpers, they can get it in at us and make us reach out in anger, you know, to hurt someone else instead of pulling back and say, no, I won't go for revenge. Or I won't say something nasty, or I won't, you know, lash out. And it is hard to hold back.
But turning away from that is turning toward God, as you understand it.
Yes. And it is, you know, when you hold back, you're listening to the guardian angel that God has given you as a gift. And I would say to people, you know, when God gives you a gift of a guardian angel, don't throw it away in the drawer or ignore it. Do your best to listen. And your angel, your guardian angel, gives you loads of signs all of the time. It's just sometimes we just don't recognize them. I tell you a little story, won't I? Is that okay?
Yes, please.
I seldom take phone calls, you know, on my mobile because it's ringing every 2 seconds. Okay, so I seldom answer it now at the moment. And because God has been keeping me so busy. But this day he told me to answer the phone, and I did so, and this young girl was on the phone, and she was saying to me, you know, that she was unwell and God is not helping her and the angels aren't helping her, and, you know, she's been asking for signs and they're not giving her any encouragement or any hope. And I said to her, but aren't you talking to me? I said to her, I don't answer the phone. I only answer the phone if God tells me to. And you're the first person I have spoken to on the phone in 2 months. You know, of a call that I don't know where it's coming from.
Uh-huh.
And she still found it so hard to see that was a sign, because that was a miracle, because I don't answer the phone. You know, and yet she found it so hard to even see that. You know, I know it's a short story, but it's just to help people to understand. Sometimes we find it hard to see the signs that God gives us. And sometimes people will say, you know, but nothing but that bad things are happening in my life. And I would say to them, you have to remember, a lot of the time, miracles come in disguise. You know, where we see, you know, we're striving to go in a particular direction, but somehow it's not working out for us. But then later on, we find that where we are, we're actually quite happy with. And when we look back, we see that, you know, that we're glad that things we were going after didn't work.
Right.
You know, sometimes a lot of things in our lives are like miracles in disguise, until the right thing happens for us, or what I would say, God and the angels are trying to keep us on the right road within life.
Okay, we have to take a break. When we get back, I want to do kind of a bang, bang, bang with you, you know, because there are so many questions that I've got here, you know.
Well,
what do angels look like? How do we get the angels closer in our life? On and on and on and on. And I'm ignoring questions that we have that have come up in the chat room. So we'll try and go real fast.
Okay.
All of you out there, be sure that you get a copy of Lorna's book. It's a marvelous book, Angels in My Hair. And visit her website. It's www.lornaburn.com. And there you get some more segments of her various interviews. So you want to do that. We'll be right back after this commercial message.
Hypnosis. It's a very powerful mental technology that literally can free you of old habits and patterns that betray your highest best, the you that you desire and deserve. Eldon Taylor has developed a number of hypnosis and subliminal hypnosis tools that can make a difference for you today. You can easily learn self-hypnosis and begin to use the powerful technology in your everyday walk of life. For that purpose, Eldon has placed a free hypnosis session online for you to try. Go to www.innertalk.com. Follow the link in the left-hand navigation under free hypnosis. Find out if this is the tool for you. look into the inexpensive self-hypnosis training set while you're there. Again, just go to www.innertalk.com. That's innertalk.com.
Change has never been easier. InnerTalk is the patented and proven effective technology developed by Eldon Taylor and researched at leading institutions throughout the world. In repeated double-blind scientific studies, this technology has shown itself to aid in many different domains ranging from weight loss to learning. Eldon has developed over 300 titles and some have been showcased as free MP3 files on his InnerTalk website. If you haven't already witnessed the power of this mind training technology, then go to www.innertalk.com and try a free download today. You'll notice the change, and the change will come from the inside out, seemingly like magic. It's not magic, of course. It just seems that way.
Do you wonder why things in your life simply do not work? Do you question why you do some things? Do you feel that you are your own worst enemy at times? Do you want more? Are you a prisoner, trapped in the circularity of your patterns and thoughts? If any of this applies, then you want the new book, Mind Programming, by the New York Times best-selling author, Eldon Taylor. Mind Programming reveals just how much all of us have been programmed to fail, to consume, to fight, to get even, to feel guilty, and so much more. This may be the most important book you ever read. Take back your power today. Get Mind Programming wherever books are sold.
Welcome back. If you just joined us, I'm Eldon Taylor, and my guest today is Lorna Byrne, and we've been discussing her marvelous book, Angels in My Hair. And there just simply is not enough time in an hour to take everything on that's in this book. So before break, I asked Lauren if it'd be all right if we just simply tried to do some bang, 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 because there are so many questions that have arisen. Lorna, what does a guardian angel look like? Do they look like a male or a female, or is it an energy? What does it look like?
They're actually beautiful, and they're either neither male or female. Angels seem to be able to represent male or female at different times, and I don't know why. So, and they always give a slight human appearance. They're beautiful creatures. I have tried to describe them in the book at different times as much as I could. No one angel is alike.
Now, are angels and archangels? I mean, is the archangel Michael or Raphael? Are they the same as an angel as, say, our guardian angels?
How can I explain that? There is angels that all play different roles, but yet I never see among the angels themselves any discrimination. The angel Michael that comes to visit me on different occasions, he's actually an archangel, but yet he would often visit sometimes with other angels. It wouldn't be, you know, the way we would have generals and things like that in the army and that. And I would never see any of the other angels salute him, but yet if he speaks first, you know, they don't say anything. You know, they stay quiet. I have never seen either an angel, just in case someone asks you that question, angels fight or dispute among each other. They always seem to work in harmony with each other. And I would see angels communicating with each other as well, and guardian angels communicating with each other. That's why I would say to people, you know, a mother should say, ask her guardian angel, to ask her son's guardian angel, to give her son a helping hand if she feels he's in need of it. And another thing I would say to people would be, it is really quite simple. All that you have to do is ask. It's really that simple. You know, it's like waking up in the morning. and just saying, listen, I need my guardian angel to give me a helping hand today. And sometimes people ask for, as I said to you, for signs before. And, you know, sometimes when a thought will come into your head about ringing a particular person, and maybe you hadn't spoken to them for a number of years or for months or something like that. And
are guides and angels the same thing, Lorna?
Say that again?
Are guides and angels the same thing, or is there such a thing as a guide?
What I would say to people, guides and angels, they really are the same. That's what I'd have to say to you. It is just in different religions, they may call them, you know, guides.
Mm-hmm.
But the angels explained to me that they're angels. I see them with everybody. And how can I say it? If someone calls their angel a guide, to me, it's their angel. I don't see any difference, if you understand.
Do the angels actually give you work to do on behalf of them?
Yes, they would give me work to do. Sometimes if I was walking down the road and a guardian angel opened up behind someone, they may tell me that that person is unwell, or that person is stressed, or is in need of help in some way, and they would ask me, and I don't know why, but they would ask me to pray for them, to ask for healing for them, and at times, before I had written the book, people just started to arrive at my door, looking for healing. In different ways. So I would always say, anyone that came to knock on my door, God had sent them. I don't know how, in one sense, how it really started. I was just amazed. You know, I was at a prayer group, I remember, and I have that story in the book about a nun who had asked me to pray with her.
You shared
and I think
with
that
everybody.
Was the first time as such.
Is that okay, Lorna? Will you share that story with everybody?
Well, I had gone to a prayer group with my husband Joe, and there was a lot of prayer going on and all of that. And then at the end of the prayer group, there were certain people that would pray with different people. But I was never one of those people as such. And this nun just came over and sat beside me, and she said, Lorna, I want you to pray with me. And I was very scared and very nervous. I was actually shocked, you know, the nun asking me to pray with her. Mm-hmm. And I said to her, could we go somewhere else? Because I actually felt shy. And we went down to one of the other rooms, and I started to pray with her, and I was able to, which shocked me, but I was able to tell her all the different things of why she was so worried and so concerned and what was wrong. And we prayed for quite a while together, and a few years later I met her. I know this part is not in the book. And she said to me, thank you, but all the miracles worked from that day that you prayed with me. And that she had said that God had said she was to ask me to pray with her and not anyone else.
So the angels, in a sense, do your bidding as well.
They must. I have to smile at that. God keeps me very busy in loads of different ways. I put loads of stories in the book, and just within the stories themselves, has helped people. People would say the book has gave them an uplift, it gave them back hope and back faith again. You know, and that really is the most important thing, because the world needs hope now at the moment. You know, We need a lot of love to come back into our hearts.
the book is over 300 pages of stories, personal experiences, such as what you just shared with us, and we just have a couple of minutes to wrap this up, and I still have so many questions, but you tell an absolutely beautiful story about the birth of Jesus, and if it means that I don't have the wrap-up, I want to hear that story. Can you share that with us? Just one of the little stories in her book. You've got everybody out there, you've got to read this book. It'll bring tears to your eyes, goosebumps to your back, and it will give you hope. It will give you hope. Will you share that story with us, Lorna?
And which story? I couldn't hear.
The birth of Jesus.
Oh, the... that one is not actually in the book.
It's not in the book? I must have gotten that. Well, then it's all the more reason for you to share. Because okay. I must have taken that then from some of the research material that I did. I believe you call it the most spectacular thing you've ever seen.
That is right. And I know we wouldn't have long enough for me to actually tell you the whole story.
So. All right. If we don't have time... Because we only have a couple of minutes. Lorna, tell us how everybody can get a hold of you and how they can find this story, The Birth of Jesus.
It's actually on my website. It would be in one of the newspaper and interviews. And to get into the website, you only have to look up lornaburn.com. And on the website as well, there's a prayer scroll. And thousands of people have entered the prayer scroll, and they would send messages of things that they're looking for to be healed or to be helped within their lives. You know, but I can't answer anybody. But I do go into the prayer scroll 3 times a week, and I'm still trying to catch up on it. But I ask for every single name that is on the prayer scroll. And for God and the angels to fill their homes with love and miracles and for things to sort out for people.
Have you got a book tour for the United States booked yet?
Say that again?
Do you have a book tour bringing you to the United States yet?
No, not yet, but please.
Well, maybe we'll have to get one of those.
I will in the future, yeah. I will look forward to that.
You have written a marvelous book, a great contribution to our understanding of human consciousness. Definitely a work that I suggest everybody read. Whether you believe in angels or not, when you're through reading this book, you will have a new insight, a new view, a new sense of calm. And, you know, the proof is in the pudding. As you know, I'm a pragmatist, so for all intent and purposes, try it. Call on these angels. See if they don't begin to communicate with you as Lorna has explained to us. Ravinder, have you got anything you want to add in the wrap here in about 30 seconds?
You know, I must have a gazillion questions, but I'm going to have to go through the book myself, I think. It's a fascinating story.
Yeah, and we're going to have to apologize to all of our listeners out there that joined us in the chat room today that I didn't get your questions in. We've come to the end of another hour of Mind Matters. I want to thank you for being with us today, and I hope you join us again next week when my guest will be Dr. Craig Hogan. And we'll be discussing his book, Death is an Illusion, Your Eternal Self. Since research scientists began to delve into the nature of the mind and the afterlife in the last quarter of the 20th century, humankind has made remarkable discoveries that have left researchers in wonder and awe. Your Eternal Self contains descriptions of the results of thousands of studies that have pointed unmistakably, to the finding that we are eternal beings having a physical experience. The book cites 330 sources from many prestigious scientific, psychological, and medical journals, but distills the essence of the research without technical detail, bringing it down to practical daily life. Be sure to tune in and catch this one. Read the book early so you can bring your questions to the show by calling in. Okay? Be sure you get Lorna's book. Again, I strongly recommend this. It's just a wonderful read. So until next time, as I like to say, peace be with you, and above all else, to thine own self be true.
Thank you for listening to Mind Matters with Eldon Taylor, the one show where your mind is the ultimate frontier. Remember to join him again for more riveting guests and thought-provoking discussions every Tuesday at 4 o'clock Pacific Time right here on ContactTalkRadio.com.